we present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today on another visit to Oxford, home to the second best university in England. Be fair, Loughborough. The city's name Oxford is derived from the old term Oxenforder, which literally meant a shallow crossing or ford in the river where cattle or oxen could cross safely, hence Oxford. Now, this is according to the English Place Name Society, who are based in the village of Chalfont St. Tedious Gits. In the 1930s, the Oxford professor and amateur ophthalmologist W.F. Ellison claimed to have revised a revolutionary system of eye exercises which would give superhuman powers of vision. Ellison tried to sell his system to the government for military use, but it was dismissed as quackery, and Ellison retired to a cottage near Abingdon, which he called Sea View. It was the team of experts in stress and trauma studies at Oxford's Department of Experimental Psychology who first identified and classified the various forms of anxiety disorders and came up with a word for people who suffer panic attacks. Boo! Oxford is noted for its many ear, nose and throat specialists. They make pate for Tesco's. Visitors to Oxford should note the exhibition on the history of veganism. It's well worth a butcher's. The long-running TV detective series Inspector Morse was set in Oxford. Morse's central character, played by John Thor, was something of a curmudgeon who had a passion for opera, cryptic crosswords and vintage cars. At first, the idea was rejected by television executives who didn't like the show's original title, Pub Bore. Oxford is the home of British Market Research. A recent survey into the perceived decline of indoor and party games found that whilst most people had stopped playing charades and Ludo, 5 out of 6 said they still enjoyed Russian roulette. The local radio astrologer Fernando Melanton is from Cowley. Real name Dave Smith. The star sign expert tells us he was pleasantly surprised at a recent medical to find the NHS have embraced astrology when he was told Mercury is rising in Uranus. Turned out the end had broken off the doctor's thermometer. Let's meet the teams. There you are. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And taking our place on the scoring desk next to me, please welcome the ever-wonderful Samantha. Well, so we start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. Good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar terms. For example, many people don't understand the subtle difference in meaning between the words dissertation and essay. Well, a dissertation is a piece of writing on a particular subject, especially one that is done to receive a degree at university, whereas essay is how posh people start a conversation. Well, the meanings of words are constantly changing, teams, so your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Jeremy, you can start.
King cobra, particularly annoying cobra.
Barry.
Ecstatic. Moving.
Tim.
Alpaca. What Italians say when they're going on holiday.
Graham.
Lepidoptera, someone who adopts leopards.
Cantilever, accelerator on an automatic horse.
Dim sum, Mass for thick people.
Falsetto, fake ice cream.
Tatooine, the night before all tattoos day.
Great Western, high noon, my darling Clementine, Destry rides again, but certainly not the rail service out of Paddington.
Boomerang to Heckle Confectionery.
Sprouts, the opposite of sprints.
Pavlovian, like a Russian ballerina who made a sort of meringue out of dog saliva.
Carrion, hand luggage for vultures.
Inconsolable, someone who cannot play Xbox, Wii or PlayStation.
Terpsichorean, Kim Jong-un's paintbrush cleaner.
Optimistic, like a cataract.
Botham, where Gatman lives.
Belting, what you find at the top of a Jamaican steeple.
Perms, Geordie poetry.
Scintillate, go at it till the small hours.
OK, the teams are going to do a spot of acting for us now in the round called Sound Charades. This is a variation on the old TV favourite, Give Us a Clue, the show that featured Mime Master General Lionel Blair. In the last few years, Lionel has been providing the cabaret entertainment on cruise ships. During one ill-fated cruise off the East African coast, Lionel was kidnapped and held hostage by Somali pirates. After months of tense negotiations and a lot of money changing hands, Lionel's family eventually agreed to take him back. Tim and Jeremy, you're to start, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Silent witness. Silent witness.
So you'll be guessing this one, Barry and Graham. Mm-hmm. And our audience may care to clap if they think that Barry and Graham are getting warm. So off you go, please, Tim and Jeremy.
It's two words and it's television.
Yeah.
Who was that at the door?
He didn't say, he just gave me a free magazine.
So he didn't say anything?
No. Well, he did express his opposition to blood transfusions through the medium of mime, but other than that, he was remarkably taciturn.
Not noisy, then?
Very much the opposite.
The end.
Oh.
Any thoughts? Yes.
That sounds like a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
Yes.
Who had nothing to say for themselves.
Yes.
And silent witness.
Silent witness.
There we go. So, your turn, Barry and Graham, and your title is now being exhibited on the display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Whistle down the wind. Whistle down the wind.
This is four words, and it's a film.
Yep,
it goes like this. Oh, so embarrassing yesterday.
Really?
I was in the gents making such a noise. I thought everybody will hear me.
Oh, dear. Well, what did you do?
Well, I made another noise to cover it up. Can you guess what it was?
Yes, I can.
The end.
Is it something to do with flatulence in some way? In the name of the farter.
Breaking badly.
Covering up a fart with a louder noise than a fart.
With another one.
With another noise, yeah. Another
with another noise.
Trumpet.
Hoping it would...
Whistle Stop down it. The wind. No.
We gave it to them.
All right. We'll try another one. Here's a further title on the laser display board for Tim and Jeremy. And here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Fox News. Fox News.
Okay, well, it's a television programme.
Two words.
Two words.
It goes like this. Our main headline tonight, the dustmen come tomorrow, so there are nice full bins to be knocked over.
And afterwards there's a new batch of chickens just asking to be pointlessly ripped apart at number 17. Time for an ad break now.
Buy Glacier Mints. They're brilliant.
Welcome back. And on a personal note, I've been offered noisy sex on a garage roof this evening. Good night.
Boom, boom!
Yeah, it's a news bulletin, isn't it?
Yes. Which channel, then?
Fox News.
Yeah. Fox.
A final title is being displayed for you, Barry and Graham, and here once more is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
The Butterfly Effect. The Butterfly Effect.
This is a film, and it's three words. Goes like this.
Dougal!
Amy! You have had your tea.
No time. I'm trying on my costume for this year's big dance and social.
Oh, yes. Last year, I remember, you wore your sailor suit.
Yes, and I danced the hosepipe.
You did, while everybody else danced the hornpipe. As I recall, your hosepipe got you some very funny looks.
Well, I took them for admiring glances.
So, what have you got this year?
This year, I shall not be in my kilt.
Oh.
Can you guess what I'll be wearing?
Handcuffs?
No. No, look.
Oh. Well, either your varicose veins have gone ballistic or you're sporting a pair of tartan trews.
Trews indeed. And here's my clever fashion gimmick. I have liberally smeared the zip with dairy spread.
Dairy spread on the zip? Well. Well. Well, that'll certainly catch the ladies' eyes.
That's just the result I'm after. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Is it the Philadelphia story?
Close.
It's a dairy spread.
Yeah.
A dairy spread on
butter.
The...
Butter.
Yes.
On the trousers.
What part of the trousers?
The zip. Oh. Lord of the Flies. But...
Butt of the Flies, the...
Like, butterfly, the butterfly effect.
Yes!
Well done. Well, our next round is called In Their Own Words, and it reflects the life and habits of well-known personalities. And they do say that as we get older, we become more set in our ways. For example, our own Barry Cryer's daily routine is so rigid that Weatherspoons set their clock by him. All right, so I have the words of erstwhile newspaper editor, broadcaster and talent show judge Piers Morgan, from which certain passages have been removed, and I'd like the teams to try to fill in the missing bits. OK, so here we go. People do actually come up in the street and say they really like me, but I know there are others who don't. I'm a bit like...
Hemorrhoids.
See, Marmite is what you said too.
Oh, right.
I was once a crossword clue in the Daily Mail's weekend magazine, something that ought to have brought a slither of pleasure. Only the photo of me they used had three chins and a bright red face, and the caption said simply,
Canut brackets anagram.
It's a media pundit Piers. My upbringing. I was brought up a practicing Catholic. I pray occasionally. I find it comforting to believe that...
God is always keen to hear what I have to say.
that there's something to pray to. I do believe in an afterlife. I do believe that people are up there looking down, and I do believe if I talk directly to them, they might...
relieve themselves.
might help me. I bounced between the two types of education. At seven, after the local primary, I was a boarder at a great prep school until I was 13, when I was sent to the local comp. It upset my mum and dad to have to do it, but they just ran out of...
the house, screaming, "Somebody take him away!"
They just ran out of money. Some of the kids there gave me a hard time for being a posh twit. Back then, my name was Piers Pugh Morgan. My schoolmates called me...
Piss Poor Organ.
You're almost right, actually. Piss Puke Moron.
Oh.
I was probably most fond of a teacher there called Mr. Freeman. He was cruel, but...
I like that in a man.
Cruel but fair. My time in newspapers. I don't think anything will beat walking on Miami Beach in 1994, aged 28, barefoot in the surf, and getting a call from Rupert Murdoch as he politely informed me...
I was trespassing.
I was going to be running the biggest newspaper in the world. When people read my memoirs, they'll be amazed and appalled at the degree of access I had to...
a typewriter.
To the Queen and Downing Street. Prince Philip was quite splendidly rude at a Buckingham Palace reception to mark his son Charles's 50th birthday. When I introduced myself, he completely refused...
to curtsy.
To utter a single word.
Oh.
Then he said to a friend of mine as he shot off...
bugger, missed him.
Yeah, and then he said, God, you can't tell from the outside, can you? At a new cookbook launch for Tom Parker Bowles at Kensington Palace, I spied Camilla talking to ultra-cool portrait painter Johnny Yeo and seized the moment. I asked, is he trying to get you to pose nude? Camilla smirked and said...
security.
Said, you are a very naughty boy, Piers. No, he's not. Rebecca Brooks and James Murdoch are two old friends. They're selling lots of papers and making lots of money, but they've both been dogged by...
those old blokes in the car park behind Tesco.
The ongoing phone hacking scandal. My ultimate defence of stories is that they are 100% true. I don't make moral judgments. Sometimes my grandmother says, that's a revolting load of rubbish you printed this morning. But when I press her further, she...
turns blue and passes out.
She will admit she found it entertaining.
Oh.
And about my books, I once walked into Waterstones to check out the Christmas books when one of the managers came rushing up to me and asked if I would mind...
leaving as I was frightening the children.
Signing some copies of my book while I was there. I followed the manager downstairs, but rather than take me to the biography department, we headed into the gardening section. I said, who do you think I am? He replied, you're...
something I'd put on my roses.
You're Dermot Gavin, aren't you? That's what he said. About me? I don't pretend to be an intellectual at all, and I'm not very well...
hung.
Well read. I don't think I'm thick. I think I'm probably quite...
wrong about that, though.
Quite street smart. And my television career? The fee to appear on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is absurdly large. And when ITV first rang to invite me to appear in a new series, a tiny part of me was...
tumescent.
was tempted.
Oh.
Ever since I won his Celebrity Apprentice show, Donald Trump always calls me...
his bitch.
Always calls me champ. Mum and Dad were on their first trip to Los Angeles when I took them to dinner with Jackie and Joan Collins. Both sisters tell the most fantastically entertaining gossip-laden stories about the rich and famous. Joan excelled herself tonight. She said, I tried cocaine once, but I sneezed and accidentally blew...
Christopher Biggins.
accidentally blew it all over Sammy Davis Jr. When I turned 50, I had a massive party which was spectacularly decadent and ended with Amanda Holden
saying, "Is anyone else coming?"
playing bongos at 3 a.m. I know all this stuff that's happening now is going to end. As my granny used to say, cock of the walk one day and
cock of the week the next.
And feather duster the next. I've told my three sons that you can get through any door in life with a firm
of locksmiths.
with a firm handshake. Well, the next game, entitled Karaoke Cokie, is based on the famous interactive entertainment popular with drinkers and amateur singers. The origin of the name karaoke is an interesting one. It's derived from three Japanese words and literally means, shall we find another pub? In the round Karaoke Cokie, the audience will be invited to hum a song, and the first team to buzz in and correctly identify the song wins points. If the team is wrong, the audience must start again from where they left off, and so on until someone gets it right. So, audience, the title of your first song will now be relayed to you via the plasma display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
The theme from The Archers. The theme from The Archers.
So, are you ready for this, audience?
Yeah.
Colin will play a brief introduction, and then you should go. So, fingers on buzzers, teams. Start us off, please, Colin. Jeremy.
The Archers.
The Archers. To get much musical stuff past Jeremy's ears. well, let's try another one. Here's a further song title for you, the audience, to hum. And here's the mystery voice for listeners at home. So,
Killing Me Softly with His Song. Killing Me Softly with His Song.
And Colin, another intro, please.
We're all going on a hummer holiday.
Not that, so I'll count you in again. You carry on from where you left off, please. One, two, three, four. Graham.
Is it Verdi's Requiem?
Not quite Verdi's Requiem. No.
Well, whatever it is, I want it played at my funeral.
When is this?
2018, Baz.
Okay.
Okay, so carrying on from where you left off. One, two, three, four. Jeremy.
Is it Can You Hear the People Sing?
No, it wasn't that. I think they're doing better than you're suggesting. I can hear the tune. Mind you, I know what it is, so I honestly didn't think karaoke could be improved. And I was right. Maybe we should bring down the numbers of people. Can we just have the ladies only humming this next one? Just the ladies. One, two, three, four. Jeremy.
I can only hear, Can You Take the Bins Out?
Graham, you buzzed
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, I thought it was, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
It wasn't that at all. I could. Let's just the men in that case. Let's see how, let's really divide the room up. Just the men, please. One, two, three, four. Jeremy.
I was the same, only slightly deeper.
Well, It wasn't that, no. I wonder if we've got anyone in the audience who'd like to give us a rendition. Yes?
Now, you see, that was the actual words. Do you know when you play I Spy, do you say, door?
Well, thank you very much for the idea.
Was it Killing Me Softly?
It was, Jeremy, yes. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there's just time to fit in a quick round called Kitchen or Bedroom. In this round, teams, I'd like you to come up with some phrases that might be suitable to use in both the kitchen and the bedroom. Barry, can you start?
I'll just have a nibble.
Graham.
It's a trick I learned from Delia.
Tim.
Is your dad joining us?
Jeremy.
If you toss too hard, it'll hit the ceiling.
Sorry, I started without you.
I thought I'd surprise you with my melon balls.
You've got to beat it till it stiffens, but whip lightly or it will go everywhere.
That's just for starters.
Please, put your phone away until we've finished.
It pops up when it's ready.
Blimey, what's this attachment for?
Shall I be mother?
If you don't like the cucumber, you can take it out.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Love Island thong of time disappears up the fake-tanned posterior of posterity, and the disillusioned dad of destiny wishes he'd never paid for that university education, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the teams, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Oxford, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.